So we are going to take some time this evening to get back into the one another's. I have wanted to go through this passage for quite some time and just haven't had that opportunity. And tonight we're going to look at Galatians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3 tonight. If you would open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, quite the passage in God's Word. One of the one another's that is such an encouragement, challenging, at the same time, passage of Scripture for us. Trust that you will be encouraged by it. I want to read verses 1 through 4 to give you the context. Actually, 1 through 5. If you would read along with me. Paul writes, "Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load." One of the things that I think we are all aware of in this life is that life is full of burdens. Life is full of trials and difficulty. It is something that we learn practically as we live out our lives on a daily basis. We learn that life is full of trials and challenges. We also equally, as believers, understand that while there are the normal difficulties and challenges of life that everyone faces in this world, we also understand that as believers, we are promised by Christ Himself that we will actually experience even more tribulation. John chapter 16, verse 33, we'll be looking at that as we go through John. But Jesus says, "In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." A promise given to us by the Lord Himself that we will be burdened by difficulty and trial. That is not to say that life is full of difficulty and that's all there is, or who of us could stand really, truly. Life is full of blessings. We have many blessings that the Lord gives us. But the truth is, life in this world, especially as a believer, will bring about burdens and difficulty and trial. Tonight, I want to look at this verse. I think this verse is a very instructive, clear passage from Galatians on what it means to help and bear one another with the burdens that we face. This verse is very practical. It is very helpful. It has much to instruct us on the one another's. Tonight I want to bring you to the verse, and I want to just pull out basically three principles for us this evening. I want to look at the command. I want to look at the caution of the command, or the concern about the command. And then lastly, look at the consummation of the command. I want to pull your attention to verse 2. Notice Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Notice what Paul says there very clearly to the church in Galatia. He says, "Bear one another's burdens." Bear one another's burdens. The command. The command given to us as a church that we are to bear one another's burdens. In fact, the text is very emphatic. It really highlights the community of believers. It's literally one another, the burdens, bear them. Bear them. We are the people of God, And as the people of God are given the command to come alongside and help one another, bear one another's burdens. The Lord has much to instruct us in this passage, beloved, on what it means to bear one another's burdens. I want you to notice the word burden. Notice the word, bear one another's burdens. Burdens. When you think of a burden, what comes to your mind? The weight, the challenges, the difficulty that life brings us. This word burden, this word for burdens, is baros in the language, and it literally means a burden or a weight. It speaks of something that is a heavy, overbearing weight, something that is difficult to carry, something that is hard to lift up and put on your shoulders and carry. It is a burden. Paul, writing to the Galatians, encourages the church, after going through all that he has written about the law and the works of the law and fighting the heresy of the Judaistic scribes and the Pharisees that had come into the church to deceive them, he writes in chapter 6 and he tells the church to bear one another's burdens. I love the fact that this word for burden can speak for anything that is weighty and difficult. It can be a burden when we have personal sin. Personal sin is actually what Paul is referring to in the context. I pull your attention to verse 1. Notice what he is saying. He says, "Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, any sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to yourself so that you will not be tempted." This burden, this context that Paul sets, this bearing one another's burdens, this burden can really refer to anything that is weighty and heavy and hard to carry. And in the context, the number one burden that Paul is asking the church to come alongside and help one another with, it is the burden of sin. Sin. Sin that we commit on a daily basis as believers. It can refer to the daily ongoing struggle of sin that we are battling against as believers. It can refer to a sin of great proportion that someone is caught in, and they have been caught in that sin, and they are separated from the fellowship of the saints or the fellowship with God. We as a church are commanded to bear the burden. This burden can be the burden of a personal sin, as I have stated in verse 1, and Paul clearly tells us. This burden can be the burden of the Adamic sin that we all face in this world. What I mean by Adamic sin is the sin that is the result of Adam, that he fell in the Garden of Eden and catapulted the whole world that we live into sin and misery and suffering and decay. This burden that Paul is speaking of can specifically refer to personal sin, but it can also just refer to sin in general. General sin that we experience living in a sinful world, a world that is full of sinners, a world that is cursed by the fall. This sin, this burden, this could be the burden of a disaster, a natural disaster, a flood, circumstances, tough, difficult circumstances that we are not able to lift. Burdens. It can be a personal sin. It can be an Adamic sin, a general sin. It can also be the sin of someone that is brought into your life by living in a sinful world with sinful people. We all experience this and have experienced this at one time in our lives. We can experience the crimes of people against ourselves. People sin against us and hurt us and put us in a place where we are in an unbearable trial. We suffer at the hands of sinners like Jesus gives us in the parable of the Good Samaritan. You remember the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus explaining the story. He says that there was a man who was walking along the street, and he says that some thieves and robbers came upon him. They stripped him. They beat him. They went away, leaving him half dead. That's a burden. That is a burden that Jesus was describing in a story, a burden that that man in that story could not bear. And so what happens is Jesus tells the story. The Samaritan man, he comes along. He literally lifts him up, puts him on his mule. He takes him to the inn. He takes care of his wounds, and he provides for him the care that he needs. That is caring for the burden of another person. It can be the burden of the sin of, it can be the burden of living in a sinful world where we experience the loss of a loved one just by virtue of being under this cursed world and being sinners ourselves. Sin brings about death, and we as people can suffer the burden of the loss of a loved one. That can be a large burden. This burden that Paul is giving the church, it refers to sin personally, but it can extend to all types of burdens that we may experience. It can be the burden of the result of satanic oppression, like David, when he came alongside and he relieved the burden from Saul of his satanic oppression. You remember that in Psalm 16, verse 23, where it says that he was given an evil spirit, Saul that was, and it was tormenting him. And it says in verse 23 that David would take the harp and he would play it with his hand, and Saul would be refreshed and be well, and the evil spirit would depart from him. This satanic oppression can be a burden that we as believers can experience as well. We might experience the burden of demonic influence in our lives, where we are under a constant assault as we are engaged in a spiritual warfare. I don't know about you, but I feel that burden. Do you feel that burden? The burden of your sin, the burden of the warfare of this world, the burden of the satanic influences that are constantly assaulting what you're trying to do for the glory of God. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 says that Satan, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. That's a burden. You may come under satanic attack. You may bear the burden of a spiritual warfare. And what do you need more than anything in those times? It is the encouragement and the help and the bearing of the burden that another brother or sister in Christ can bring you. We understand this burden if we're believers. We understand the difficulty of the burden. Whatever the burden is, we have been given the command, beloved, by the Lord through the word of Christ, that we are to bear one another's burdens. We are to come alongside and lighten the load of walking with Christ, removing the load, lifting the burdens, helping them get stronger to carry the load. This is why, beloved, we need the body of Christ. No matter who you are, at some point in your life, and especially if you're a believer, you are going to come under a weight that you will feel like you can't carry. The Lord knows this. And this is why, beloved, He commands His church to bear one another's burdens. Notice the tense of the verb. Notice, bear one another's burdens. Present, imperative, tense verb. Ongoing action. We as a church are to continually practice of carrying the weight of our fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. The imperative gives us the importance of bearing the command. It gives us the understanding that this is something that believers are going to need to do because other believers are going to need some help. The present tense ongoing action gives us the understanding that it's a continual, habitual practice that we are in. What the Lord wants us to do tonight, beloved, in this one another passage is seek out ways to relieve the burdens of others. He wants us to find ways to help people. The ongoing action, looking for opportunities to help others in the body of Christ. This means, beloved, that we need to be involved in the lives of people. It means that we need to know people and understand those people so that we can help them. This truly is the purpose of our lives. I love what one pastor said. He said, some of you wonder what you are supposed to do with your life as believers. Well, here is a vocation that will bring you more satisfaction than if you became a millionaire 10 times over. Develop the extraordinary skill for detecting the burdens of others and devote yourself to daily to making them lighter. This is what the Lord is asking of us in this verse. It makes me think of my seminary professor, Pastor Montoya. He was so practical in his instruction to us as men. And he would oftentimes say, go out, get out into the world, go out into the church, and look for people that you can lighten their load. Spend some time looking at the countenances, the facial expressions of people, and see the burden that they're carrying and seek to lighten their load. Look around you, and you will find someone that you can lighten the burden. I call this passage, beloved, PC 101. It's Practical Christianity 101. This really is where the rubber meets the road for us as believers, and that is why it is a command. It is a command. This is what we've been called to do as believers. We are commanded to love one another by lightening others' loads that they're bearing. And what this means is we must take the command seriously. We must remember there are people carrying these burdens that they are feeling and the weight that they cannot carry them. We must seek to help our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ carry their load. Think right now. Think right now in your heart, in your mind. Is there someone in the church that you know right now that you could help carry some of the load they're dealing with? Ask yourself the question, how can you help them carry the load? Is there any place in the church corporately that you can help bear the burden that the church is feeling? How can you encourage, serve, and help one another? How can you put into practice practical Christianity 101 right here, bearing one another's burdens? Truly, beloved, this is what we are called to, and we're going to see how important this is when we get to the consummation of the command. But I want you to notice, not only is there the command, we're to bear the burdens of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, I also want you to notice there is a caution to the command. Or we could say there's a great concern in relation to the command. Look at verse 3. Notice what Paul says. He says, verse 2, bear one another's burdens, and then look, verse 3, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. The greatest concern or caution to practicing the command is this spirit of pride and arrogance. Notice what he says. If anyone thinks he is something, and notice, matter-of-factly, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. I don't know about you, but that doesn't build a whole lot of self-esteem in our day and age. Wow, if you think you're something when really, matter-of-factly, you're just nothing, wow, that's pretty self-esteem crushing right there. But the point that Paul is making here is that if you're going to bear the burden, the burdens of your brethren, then the first and foremost caution you need to be aware of is you need to be aware of the pride that resides in the heart. Pride is the number one killer of fulfilling the command of bearing another's burden. When it comes to bearing another person's burden, the thing that kills bearing others' burdens is pride. It is the chief. It is the captain of killing all obedience to the command. Because at the root of pride is self. Self-absorption. self-actualization is at the core of the failure to obey the command. What is pride at its root? It is a person who is focused on self, concerned about self, thinking of self, and wanting to fulfill self. And that strikes a blow at the bearing of others' burdens. Because if you're focused on self, then there's no way you're going to focus on someone else. And if you're focused on your own good and your own cares and your own worries, then there's no way you will care for and carry the worries of another. That is what Paul is getting at here. For if anyone thinks he is something, that is quite a little phrase there. For if anyone thinks he is something, that really is the problem with the failure to obey the command. That is the great caution. When you think you are something, when really you're nothing. This is the core. This is the core of the caution of the command. When we think that we are something, then nothing will ultimately get done, really. When we think that we are something, then nothing will ever happen in regards to bearing another person's burden. We won't bear the burden of someone's personal sin by restoring them, as it says in verse 1. There's no way we're going to even get started with bearing the burden of someone because we are thinking that we are something. And when we think we're something, we most always do nothing for someone else in need. And why is this? Because if you think you're something, and you think they're nothing, but you're something, you will do nothing. Because you ultimately think that you're the one that should be cared for. You are the one that should have the burdens borne. You are the one that needs the help, or no help, however you look at it. You will see them as nothing. You are something. They are below you. They are below your expertise of help. They are below your responsible life. They are below you. They are nothing. You are something. You obey the rules. They disobey the rules. And so they rest in the consequences. But you're something. They're nothing. So why bear their burdens? This is what the Pharisees did. Unfortunately, this is what religion can do to people. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 4 of the Pharisees? The self-righteous, arrogant, proud-hearted Pharisees. He said, they tie up heavy burdens and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with such as a finger. That's a perfect illustration of what pride does to the heart of man and how it affects the fulfillment of this command. It is the great caution of the command. It is pride. You see, the Pharisees, in their pride, they saw themselves as something. And so what did they do? Nothing, except chide and deride those who failed to obey their rules. It's unfortunate that religion can do this to people. Religion can turn a man's heart into self-righteousness and pride, making rules the means to righteousness, and thinking that someone is something when they are nothing, and they set themselves up as above the rest. And what that does is create a hard, cold, uncompassionate heart. Pride is what keeps us from bearing the sin of others, because we think we are something when they are nothing. But even if we try and bear the sins of others, let's just pretend that we think we're something and we're going to do something for someone who needs to have the burden lifted. When we think we're something, then we're going to mess this up too, because notice what Paul says in verse 1. If we try to bear the burden of someone's sin or the consequences of their sin, notice what Paul says. Notice how humility is the key to this. Verse 1. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, notice, You who are spiritual, restore such a one with a spirit of gentleness. Gentleness. If you think you're something and you try to do something for someone who has a load that they're bearing, if you are proud, then there's no way you're going to fulfill this and be gentle in the process. This verse is tied to the restoration of a fallen brother or sister in Christ, but this can apply, this principle can apply to any situation in Christ. No matter the burden, if you're going to bear another's burden, then you must remove pride, because the only thing that's going to replace pride is gentleness. I love the definition of that word gentleness. It's proutes, and it literally means meekness. And it speaks of a strength that accommodates. Listen, it's a strength that accommodates to another's weakness. Isn't that great? That's bearing the burden of a fallen brother in Christ or sister in Christ. Strength, humility is strength that accommodates another's weakness. One pastor wrote of this verse, he said, I have often thought that if I ever fall into a trespass, I will pray that I don't fall into the hands of those censorious, critical judges in the church. Let me fall into the hands of barkeepers, streetwalkers, or dope peddlers, because such church people would tear me apart with their long, wagging, gossipy tongues, cutting me to shreds. What's he saying? He's saying that if someone is going to bear the burden of another, they must have gentleness to accomplish that commandment. You and I need humility, beloved. You need humility to keep yourself from also being tempted. Notice what Paul says there in the passage. He says very clearly in Galatians 6 verse 1, lest, look at each one looking to yourself so that you will not be tempted. If you think you are something when you are nothing, and you try to bear the burden of someone who is wearing a heavy weight on their shoulders, there is a great possibility that you could also be tempted and fall into the same areas of sin. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. Beloved, humility is the key to the fulfillment of the command. It helps you remember who you are in Christ. It helps you have a right approach to a person who's bearing a heavy load, especially if it's from the result of sin or the consequences of sin. Humility is the key because it helps you remember that you ultimately will be held responsible for how you bear your own load. Look at verse 4 and 5. This is an amazing passage. But each one must examine his own work. Do a heart examination of your own faithfulness, of your own self. And then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone. And notice, and not in regard to another. Look at verse 5. For each one will bear his own load. What is Paul saying? What he is saying here is if you want to fulfill the command, then you must be aware of the caution of pride. You must deal with pride in the heart. You must probe your heart for the problem of pride, because what can happen is you can find yourself thinking you're something when you're nothing, and you start comparing yourself to someone else and setting yourself above that person. And that is damaging to helping you do your work in the Lord, because notice what verse 5 says, you will bear your own load. That's an amazing little verse there, beloved. The word load in verse 2 is different than the word load in verse 5. This is a different load. This isn't the load that is heavy and weighty and really tough and difficult. This load in verse 5 is the normal, everyday type of load that everyone has to bear in this life that they will ultimately be held accountable to God for. See, the problem with pride is we start thinking we're something, others are nothing, and then we start measuring our goodness or our faithfulness or how well we're doing by the basis of another rather than on the standard of God. And that kills the fulfillment of the command of bearing another's load. We think we're okay, we're fine, we're doing what we need to do. We're not as bad as that guy, but we're okay. And Paul very clearly brings up the truth, for each one will bear his own load. Each one will be responsible for the normal loads of life. By the way, as a footnote, there's a good lesson here when we're thinking about bearing another's burden. Verse 5 very clearly teaches us that we don't bear a person's load to the point that we take it all on and we remove it completely off their shoulders. Because see, the reality is here, each one must bear their own load. Everyone is responsible to bear the load. When you bear another's load, what you're really doing is you're coming alongside and you're helping remove some of the weight, but you're not removing it all. Meaning you're not enabling someone to continue down a path of laziness and sin and irresponsibility. Each one will bear their own load. But what we're to do when someone is overburdened is lighten the load as best we can. And sometimes what that really means is really coming alongside someone, helping take some of that load off of their shoulders, and then helping them, keeping them up, standing up, and then maybe teaching them how to bear their own load. Helping them get back on their feet so they can continue bearing the normal responsibilities of the loads that everyone carries. Beloved, this is vital to carrying out the command. I love what one quote says regarding this. It says, "Never look down on somebody unless you're helping them up." I love that. Never look down on somebody unless you're helping them up. It is really hard and very difficult to see how you can help someone up when you are looking down on them, thinking you're something and they are nothing. There's another principle here about this caution regarding pride that I want to bring out as well, and I think this is intimated in the text before I move on to the last point. If you're going to bear the burden of your brethren in Christ, we must be humble, but also I want to let you know that if you are going to have someone help you bear your burden, you have to be humble. It goes both ways. You know, this is something that, honestly, as a pastor, can get very frustrating. You learn after the fact that somebody has been bearing a huge load and it's already gone and passed, and the opportunity to help someone carry that load has been missed because of pride. Because that person doesn't ask for help, that is pride, and because that person doesn't really think they need help, that is pride. You see, this issue of pride goes both ways. Whether you're going to help someone bear the load or whether you need help in bearing the load, it takes humility. You see, thinking you're something when you're nothing gets in the way, because when you think you're something, then you really don't think you need help from others when in fact you really do. And when you think you're something when you're nothing, then the likelihood is that you're not going to ask for anything. And that is really a serious issue of pride. See, beloved, the Lord wants us to learn that we are a team. We work as a team. We help one another. We're in this together. We're on the same side of Christ, and we're working together to a common goal. And sometimes our fellow soldiers in Christ will fall down. They'll trip and they'll fall down. And what we want to do is help them up. We want to relieve some of the load, and we want to carry them for a time until they can bear their own load. And that requires humility on both parties. I guess that's why there is no I in the word team. Maybe you've heard that. Because carrying one another's burdens cannot coexist with conceit that resides in the heart. Humility. We want to be humble so that we can love one another by lifting the loads of one another. This truly is what matters most. And this is the last point that we see in our passage. We've looked at the command of bearing one another's burdens. We've looked at the concern of the command, pride and arrogance. Lastly, let's look at the culmination or the consummation of the command. And this is really awesome. Look at verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ. When we bear one another's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ. Now, doesn't that sound kind of exciting to you? That you can actually fulfill the law of Christ? You can fulfill it by bearing the burden of your brothers and sisters in Christ. What does Paul mean by the law of Christ? What is this law of Christ? Well, I want you to notice it's not the law of Moses. It is the law of Christ. What he means by this is that if we fulfill the law of love, then we fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ, which is the law of love, is what was manifested in the life and the obedience of the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to bring salvation to the lost. He came to deliver them from the penalty and the power of their sin. And how did he do this? To lift the greatest burden that we bear, and that is our sin. And how did he do this? He bore our sin in his body. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25-24. He says, "And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed, for you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls." The law of Christ is the law of love. And Jesus demonstrated this law of love by taking your punishment on the cross for you. He bore your sins in his body. God treated him as if it was you on the cross, a common criminal, and he punished the Lord Jesus when he had committed no sin whatsoever. And Jesus bore your sin in his body, and he was put to death on your behalf. Fulfilling the demands of the Mosaic Law and fulfilling the justice of the Mosaic Law, which is death for disobedience. Through his work on the cross, we have returned to the great shepherd of the sheep. We have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We have been saved by his work on our behalf, not by our works that we could do. Well, this is what the Lord was saying through the Apostle Paul in his inspired pen. You see, false brethren had snuck into the Galatian churches and they were spying out their faith in Christ. They were trying to bring this law of legalism into the church. And they were spreading a false gospel, a gospel by works of the law rather than a faith in the work of Christ. And so Paul wrote this whole epistle to confront this major error. In chapter 1, he condemned the false gospel. He said, "If anyone comes to you and preaches to you a gospel contrary to what I have preached to you, let him be anathematized. Let him be damned to hell." Chapter 1, he condemned the false gospel. Chapter 2, he clearly says that no one is justified by the law. Chapter 2, verse 16, "Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh will be justified." In chapter 3, in chapter 4, he proves this truth that we are justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law in Christ, Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And then in chapter 5, he rolls out this glorious doctrine of the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, where he says that we've been set free from the works of the law because of faith in Christ. We have been set free from the power of the law, its jurisdiction. We've been set free. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, if you want to look up there, notice what he says. He says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not become subject again to a yoke of slavery. That's the slavery to rules and religion and legalistic works to save yourself. And then he continues on in verse 18. Look at verse 18. Notice what he says there. That's a glorious little passage. But if you are led by the Spirit, you've been redeemed by Christ and the cross, and the Spirit of Christ has regenerated your life, and he's living in your heart, and you're being led by the Spirit. If you are led by the Spirit, notice, you are not under the law. That doesn't mean we're lawless, because we're under the law of Christ. But the law of Christ is meted out through our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. Move down to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And this is the one part of the verse we always leave off when we memorize this. Notice, against such things there is no law. There's no need for law if the Holy Spirit is residing in your heart. All this to come back to this law of Christ. We fulfill the law of Christ. Because if we are in Christ and in the Spirit, then the flesh and the deeds of the flesh has been put to death, verse 24. And it no longer reigns over us. Now Christ, the Spirit of Christ, is reigning on our hearts. He takes a residence and he is reigning on the throne of our hearts. And we have a new law, the law of the Spirit, the law of Christ in our hearts, and the Spirit of Christ is reigning. And notice verse 25 of chapter 5. This is a great verse. He says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Literally in the language, it says, let us keep in step with the Spirit. It gives the understanding of a commanding officer who goes before his troops, and he's making the commandments, and they're listening to him, and they're keeping in step with him as he leads them out. That is why Paul says, by the way, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 15, that neither circumcision, he says, for neither is circumcision anything or uncircumcision, but a new creation, meaning rules and religion don't do anything for us. What we need is to be a new creation. We need to be saved by the cross of Christ and regenerated by the Spirit of Christ. And if that happens, then guess what? We will live by the law of Christ, which is the law of love. We will bear our brothers and sisters' burdens in Christ. We will live like He lived. And what does He say? How should we live? In John chapter 13, verse 34, He says that we are to love one another just as I have loved you, sacrificially. How did Christ love us? He lifted our greatest burden. The least that we can do as one in Christ is lift a load. We can't lift another person's sin. Only the Lord can do that. But the least we can do is come alongside and lighten some of the load that we are carrying as believers. This is key. This is how we fulfill the law of Christ. You want to fulfill all the law? Then love one another by lifting the loads of one another. And incidentally, if you do this, you fulfill the law of Christ, but incidentally, guess what? You will also be fulfilled in Christ. You will fulfill the law of Christ, but you will be fulfilled in Christ, meaning your greatest joy will be found in lightening the load of believers out of love for them. That really is the key here. You know, you want to have joy and peace in the Lord, then lighten the load of a fellow believer. You want to have joy and peace and fulfillment in the Lord, then lighten the burden that a lost person is dealing with their sin. Lead them to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and share the gospel with them so they can have that load of sin that they can never remove. Only the Lord can remove. Lead them to Christ. That is the greatest joy that we find as believers, is loving people enough to lighten their load. And beloved, by the way, this is not something we should have to be guilted in to do. This is not something that we should have to be pressed into or forced into. This should be something that we want to do. We shouldn't be like Simon of Cyrene. You remember Simon of Cyrene? Remember what he did? It says that he came along, he carried the cross of Christ because Christ had been beaten so badly. He had been hurt so badly he couldn't carry his own cross. So you know what the Bible says? It says that the soldiers, they seized Simon of Cyrene and they pressed him, they forced him to carry the cross. Oh, how that should not be us. We should never have to be forced to bear another's burden. We want to be like Christ. We want it to be our greatest joy. Moved out of a heart of humility and compassion for others. Calling people to come and find their fulfillment in Christ, where they can have their burden of sin lifted and we can come alongside and help them in any way. Beloved, what an awesome command this is for us this evening. How are you doing with this? How have you been doing bearing the loads of your fellow brethren? This is very important, beloved. I say this not to lord it over your faith, but as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1, that we are workers for your joy, so that you will find the joy in the Lord to lighten the loads of people. Find ways to minister and lighten people's loads, beloved. Look for ways. Find ways to do this. Probe your heart. Pay attention to the caution or the concern that would keep you from obeying the command. Ask yourself the question, when's the last time you lightened somebody's load? Why aren't you lightening people's loads? Is it because you think you're something when you are really nothing? Is it an issue of pride? Probe the pride of your heart. Repent from your pride. Ask for God to grace you with humility. Step out in faith and help your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Bear their burden, because truly it's in that you will find the greatest fulfillment in your walks with Christ.